In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region, living in the fields and keeping night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord.
Tonight, as we gather to celebrate this great feast of the Nativity, we hear the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. And it strikes me that there are a few stories, I think, that has most captured the human people than this particular story. It has an incredible power over us. It is probably, with the exception of the crucifix itself, is probably one of the most reproduced images of Christian art and image that we have. It is the basis of countless stories. It fills our imagination. Every year when I hear this, my family, whenever we gather for Christmas and we're about to open presents, we read this story. Of all the other Christmas narratives, this is the one we read. It's even the story that Linus speaks at the end of A Charlie Brown Christmas, when Charlie Brown goes, "Can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about?" And it's this story that's told. It has an incredible power. And why is that, really? We've heard it so many times, and yet somehow it still pulls at us and still draws us. Why is it? Certainly, it begins, I think, with the birth of a child. The birth of a child that always brings an experience of hope. But the birth of this child, of course, is one that happens in ways in which pulls at us. The child is born in poverty. The child is born in a manger because there's no room at the inn. There's a sense of danger in this particular birth, of anxiety, of uncertainty. And yet into that is this birth and this sense of peace. But I think it's more than just a birth of a child. After all, the story does actually have a certain element of, I don't know, a certain element of kind of standing up to that experience of poverty and that experience of anxiety. The story begins by making reference to Caesar Augustus. And the story makes it clear that Caesar Augustus, the great Caesar, the great emperor of Rome, the most powerful man in the world, is just an instrument, a tool, in order to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, because this child must be born in the city of David. He's a descendant of David. And while men in Rome have built an altar to the Pax Augustae, to the great Augustan peace, the angels declare the Pax Christi, the peace of Christ. And while Caesar Augustus is recognized as Savior and Lord throughout the empire, the angels declare that this child, this vulnerable child, is Savior and is Lord, which is revolutionary. It's a statement that defies the very state itself. But as I listen to this reading, I think, again, this year, where my heart rests is on a couple phrases that the angel says to the shepherds. And the first one is one that gets repeated over and over and over again in the Gospels. And that is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And the second one is, repeatedly, the angel says, this child is born for you. A Savior has come for you. Do not be afraid. My brothers and sisters, there is a lot in our world to be fearful of. There are a lot of things that bring us fear. And despite Isaiah's prophecy, we know that the yoke of suffering is still very much present among us, that the rod and the whip are still used for people, and the boots and cloaks that are covered in blood in the experience of war is still very much a part of our experience as a people. And we know too the experience of fear that comes from our own sin, for division that we have amongst our families and our friends. We know the fear that comes, perhaps the biggest fear that comes, from loneliness, from isolation, from being separated, fear that comes from death. And into that experience, the angel says, do not be afraid. The Lord comes. Our Lord Jesus comes into the world of darkness. Of darkness that is formed by sin. Of darkness of isolation and loneliness. Of darkness by violence and by force. Do not be afraid. And I think this is the point that makes this story so important to us. Because as powerful as that darkness can seem, as pervasive as the evil that sometimes we experience around us, as strong as those voices of hatred and separation and sin and violence, as loud as they scream, there's something within us that recognizes that in the birth of this child, there's something good there that none of that can wipe away. That there is a goodness, a truth that comes into our world that the darkness cannot overcome. And my brothers and sisters, if the darkness can't overcome that, then it's over. The darkness is lost. We come together tonight because in a child, hope comes into the world. In a child, we recognize that no matter how much we face in the world, no matter how much darkness may be out there in the world, that in the end, its days are numbered. The angel, in speaking glad tidings of great joy, offers up the only sign that he gives the shepherds. You will find an infant lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothing. And because of that, because that goodness exists in the world, and because God brought that goodness into being by making His dwelling among us, the darkness cannot overcome the light. And so tonight, we come together because we're called to be a people of faith and of hope. That in the face of so much that is in front of us that can lead us to fear and to suffering, ultimately we know because of what happened on this night, what happens tonight, ultimately we know that no matter what we face, God is there. God will have His way, and we will encounter the light and the life of Christ. And He does that, God does that for you. He does that for me. He does that for us. Everything that Christ will become and everything that He does, my brothers and sisters, is for us. For us, because He loves us, because He calls us, in order to die, my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ became a man, so that from the cross He could call all people to Himself, and the darkness will not prevail against it. We come here this evening called to be a people that remembers what it is that God has done. The hope that comes to us in this story, because in a child, God overcomes sin and death, speaks to us, do not be afraid, and calls us ultimately to find His life and His salvation. Because in this child, salvation is born for us. Christ saves us, and we are at last to be at peace. And because of that, we believe that the yoke one day will be taken away, the rod will be broken, and the boots and the cloaks that are used in battle will be burned as fuel, because our God will be all in all. Amen.